But it still concerns the same, I mean, what's on my heart, just concerning the purpose of the Lord for the soul in creating the soul, and that purpose either being served in a generation or not. And what I'd like to do, just first off, is just kind of give like a little review of last week. And I'll just read a couple of comments and basically look at some of the notes that I didn't get to read last week, which is all along the same line. But before I do, I want us to look at some verses that I've gotten written on this diagram behind me. And I don't have the verses written down on the diagram. I will have them on the website, but I've got them printed out for me. I'm not sure how to do this. But I'll just go to the board here. It all has to do, once again, the purpose and the cross. I think that's what I titled last Sunday's service as, the purpose and the cross. It's the cross, it's the finished work of the cross. It actually allows us to come into purpose. It brings us into purpose. I'd mentioned above is eternity, no time, and then below is time. There was a beginning, and time is not eternal. Okay? Time has a beginning and an end. Eternity, no beginning and no end. But right here, what I was talking about, I gave the example, one of the examples, was mainly with the children of Israel in Egypt, and how that the Lord sent a deliverer, Moses, who was in type Christ, and how he brought this whole humanity, you can say, this whole existence, this whole state of being, because they were all in Egypt. Egypt represents the abode of the dead. They were all among the dead. They were all among the dead. In such a state, they could not receive life. The Lord in the cross had to bring, if you can hear this, he had to bring death, the state of death, unto death. Bring it to an end. That now, having been brought to an end, now all buried, the dead that hear my voice shall live. Okay? And the dead, of course, is the opposite of life. Where Christ is not present, life is not present. If you are not born again, then you are dead. Regardless if you walk around, say things, have a mind. See, this thought comes out of carnality, out of ignorance. You've heard the phrase, I think, therefore I am. Just take it to its fullness. I think, therefore I have no life till Christ appears. Once Christ appears, you could say, I think, therefore I'm ignorant till the light of life appears. Okay? Just take it to its end. Take it straight away to the end. Thinking doesn't make you be one who's living. He who hath the Son hath the life. Christ must appear in the soul for there to be life present. The soul must continue in that very appearing, continue in that very purpose, that the light of life may now appear. Day, the evening and the morning were the first day. There must be the experience of the first day in the soul. And the evening and the morning were the second day, walking in the day, walking in the light. All right, so then we looked here how this was like the Red Sea crossing, death, burial, the death of the lamb. There was the blood on the doorposts, lintel, and the blood that dripped down from the lintel. So the death of the lamb, the burial in the Red Sea, all Israel went into the burial. All Egypt went into the burial. It was typed, Egypt, the government, and his armies go into the burial. Only one life comes out. Egypt does not come out of the burial. Death does not come out of the burial. Only Israel is my son, even my firstborn. Christ comes out of the burial. Life comes out of the burial. Then right here, after they're risen, because it's automatic, death, burial, resurrection, there's no purgatory, 40 years of wandering. That's not purgatory, you know, regardless. And if you guys believe in purgatory, sorry. It's not there. No, they were in resurrection. But what was the deal with the majority of the children? Children of Israel. They were ignorant of the resurrection. They were ignorant. Really, they were ignorant of the cross, of what just took place. Death, burial, resurrection. They were ignorant of how I brought you on eagle's wings unto myself. You saw what I did, and we'll be reading the verses. You saw what I did unto the Egyptians, and how that I brought you on eagle's wings unto myself. They were ignorant of who their life was. They were ignorant of where they were. See, it's always right here. I've got some verses we'll be reading. Here's where in that day, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Right here, what takes place. In that day, you will know, I am in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then we shall appear with him in glory. He must appear. He must appear where he is. Okay? And then I had mentioned that then there were those who were not ignorant. And we can throw Moses in there, because Moses saw the Lord face to face. He spoke. It's in type. Yes, it's in type. He spoke unto the Lord face to face. All right. Joshua and Caleb, they saw the purpose of God. Therefore, they would go in and continue in testimony, continue in purpose. Okay. Filling the land. And we had mentioned that Canaan is not actually heaven, because there's no foreign inhabitants in heaven. Canaan is actually the soul, and the inhabitants, which we'll read in some notes in a second, are actually our vain imaginations. And what was the other word? I can't think of it, but it's written down. We'll look at it in a second. So, just for that quick synopsis of the diagram, I want to go ahead and read some verses that I may have already quoted, halfway quoted. But this is Exodus chapter 12. Verses 1-3. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speaking unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month shall they shall take to them every man a lamb according to his house, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. The beginning. Right here, the cross is their beginning. But really, what happened at the cross is verse 3. They shall take to them every man a lamb. The lamb appears. Christ appears in type of the lamb, the crucified lamb. All right? And you shall kill the Passover, it goes on to say. Okay? But their beginning, they began. Remember, right here among the dead, they had no life. Okay? Right here, they had no life. Among the dead, they had no life. The Lord sends Moses, who is in type Christ, all right, as a deliverer. But they had no life. This day shall be unto you the beginning of months. Here is your beginning. Here is your beginning. When Christ first appears, you have just begun. Because the beginning has appeared in the soul. But he appears as the lamb with blood slain, right? I went over it last week. It's when the Lord first appears, he appears with blood to take away sin, to deal with the issue of sin, to deal with the whole issue of death, sin, separation, to deal with that issue when he first appears. John the Baptist said, first time John the Baptist sees Jesus, says, and the next day John the Baptist seeing Jesus says, Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, in relation to blood. There is beholding him, the beginning. Okay? But it doesn't stop there. John the Baptist says, again, the next day John seeth Jesus and saith, Behold the Lamb of God. Now, apart from sin, no longer in relation to sin. No longer with the blood. Now it's just behold the Lamb of God. Now it is the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Okay? Back over here. The beginning, Christ appears. The end, Christ appears. To them, listen, to them that look for Him, it's in Hebrews, I may have the verse in here, but it's to them that look for Him shall He appear the second with no relation to sin any longer, but in relation to life, the light of life. There's the end. There's the end, the goal. Jesus continually says, I am the beginning and the end. We'll be looking at it. I've got it a little laid out better in those notes over there. But to know Him in the beginning as the beginning, and to know Him in the end as the end. See, the majority of us, we only know Him as the beginning in relation to this right here. You know, I was in bondage. I was among the dead. I had no life. And Jesus came and saved me. That's knowing Him as the beginning. But as our beginning, now I have life. But do we know Him as the end? The light of life. Apart from sin, to them that look for Him shall He appear. Are we actually looking for His appearing? Are we continuing in purpose looking for His appearing? See, they were looking for His appearing here. They were crying out to the Lord. And the Lord said, I hear their cry. I remember my covenant that I made with them. Right? To bring them into a land that floweth with milk and honey. This was way before they were in Egypt. They were looking for His appearing. He finally appeared, brings them all to the cross, and then they stopped looking. They stopped looking. Did the Lord stop appearing? No. I remember Jason Henderson in one conference like 2-3 years ago shared it really beautifully. He started, I've never seen it like that before, just sharing Christ in the Old Testament, just, and here the Lord appeared. And he said, and then here the Lord appeared, and then here the Lord appeared. And as I was just looking and reading verses, like, oh my gosh, this is exactly what Jason was saying. He appeared to them as the manna. He appeared to them as the rock that brought them water. He appeared to them appeared to them as the water, the sweet waters that they could now drink. He appeared to them all throughout the whole time while they were in the wilderness. All throughout the whole time while they were in ignorance of Him. He continued to appear. And they were not obedient. And think about it. Why did they not go in and inherit the land? Why did they not go in, listen, and take possession? Why did they not continue in purpose? Why did they not continue in the testimony? They were not obedient. They were not obedient to the voice. They were not obedient to the appearing of the Lord. And that's what they said. We read it, and I don't know if I have it down written here, but we read it. Exodus, I think it's Exodus 19, and Daniel reminded me of the verse. You know, they said, when the Lord said, I want you all to come and be kings and priests. And they said, no. No, they said, no, we don't want to go. No, we don't want to hear the voice of the Lord. If we continue hearing His voice, we shall die. Because it demands obedience. And then the Lord says, well, you saw how I spake to you, how I appeared to you and spake to you. And they're like, no, we don't want to be obedient. No, no. Moses, they said, Moses, you go. You go. They forfeited their purpose for fear of this, of losing their ignorance, of losing their vain imagination. And that's all it is. That's all it is. Time and time again, I made mention of it last week, and then afterwards, the class, after the service, Daniel was like, he said, well, Jimmy, okay, I'll just say this. Time and time again, what? They looked back. Right? They looked back. To what? It was before their beginning. They looked back to vanity. They looked back to ignorance. They looked back to something that wasn't there. That's like saying, give me some imaginary object, thing, an imaginary thing. What would? A unicorn. Okay. Well, some people would debate about a unicorn. So a gremlin. Okay. How about that? A gremlin. A gizmo. You know, a mogwai. The thing doesn't exist. There's no such thing as that. It doesn't exist. You know? Or better yet, because they already proved that it was a guy who did this, Bigfoot. It doesn't exist. It was a guy who went around in stilts, you know, put feet on the ground. It was a publicity stunt. Hey, did it work? It sure did. They brought in a lot of money. It did not exist. But what if there's people out there saying, oh, well, you remember that time when they first saw Bigfoot and took that picture? It's vanity. It wasn't real. It never happened. Because the thing wasn't real. That's what they were doing. They were going back to vanity. They were going back to before they began. They were going back to before their beginning. What was there before? Zero. Nothing. Nothing. Okay? And I had mentioned it. They said, oh, but the leeks in Egypt. And after the service, Daniel said, Jimmy, the leeks were destroyed in one of the plagues. Even if they were going back to vanity, there was nothing there for them, period. It was all done away with one of the plagues, right? All the Lord, 9 plagues, 9 signs, 9 signs, wonders, all happening right here. And one brings them into purpose. And we'll touch on that as well. But that's what it was. A bunch of signs and wonders, right, happening in Egypt. But they did not come into purpose till the Lamb appeared. They did not begin in purpose till the Lamb appeared. Okay? All right. So that's that verse. Exodus then continuing on, verse 6 through 7. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill the Lamb, the Passover, in the evening. Don't you love that? It's all happening. It's all happening at night in darkness, right? Now shall take of the blood and strike it on the two sides, on the two side posts, and on the upper door post of the house when they shall eat it. Okay, then 11 through 13. And thus you shall eat it. And it just gives a description. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord. And I'm still in Exodus 12. And finally, verse 33. Also take your flocks and your herds, and as you said, be gone and bless me. Nope, excuse me. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, we all dead. We be dead right here. When the Lamb died, all died. It's like you can put an arrow here back to the beginning of time, the beginning of time, and forward, the end of time. Okay? One died, all died. Yeah, that's 2 Corinthians 5:14. We did actually look at that verse last Sunday. All right. This is the burial verse that we actually didn't look at. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And this whole scenario is replayed over and over and over and over because it's the cross over and over and over and over, bringing them into purpose over and over and over again. All right. This is 1 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 6. This is Paul speaking. And did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. There's an appearing of the Lord right there. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things were our examples. Let's see. Oh, excuse me. 1 Corinthians 1 to 2. It'll make more sense. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant. I would not that you would be ignorant like the 40-year generation that wandered in ignorance for 40 years and served no purpose at all. I wouldn't want you to stay like that. I wouldn't want you to be like that. I would have you know. I would have you be in knowledge, in knowing of purpose, that you would serve purpose, okay? 1 Corinthians 10:1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. There it is. There's the baptism right there. The burial. Genesis 7:4, we kind of made mention of it last week. Genesis 7:4. And this is with Noah and the ark. But here are the specific verses. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights. There you go. And every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. Right? Death, burial, verse 19. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. Buried. It's burial. It was all buried. All burial. Okay? And then Romans chapter 6. Three through four. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Why? Because you are dead and your life is risen with Christ in God. When Christ was raised, if you are born again, listen, your life was raised because Christ is your life. All right? So now that passage here, resurrection, the verses that I kind of quoted, this is Exodus chapter 19, verse 3 through 6. This is a eagle's wings verse, I think. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, tell the children of Israel, You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and turn, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all the people, for all the earth is mine. The earth, Strong's number 776. Same word for the land. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. It's right there. Genesis 7:17. Going back again with the ark. And I didn't make mention of this particular verse last week. 7:17. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased. Listen. And bare up the ark, and it was lifted up above the earth. In resurrection. Above the earth. Lifted up. Okay. Then Ephesians 2, I know you guys know the verse, 1 through 7. Ephesians 2, 1 through 7. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein, I love the way Paul says this, time passed. You walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also you all had of whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. The verses, in that day you shall know, when Christ who is our life shall appear, then you shall appear with him in glory. It's when the day, the light of life appears, the light of the day appears. All right? There is ignorance of the cross in the heart, falling, remaining short of the glory of God, found only in the face of Jesus Christ, with an unveiled face. See? This face is veiled. Here's an unveiled face. This one, right here, you could say, is occupied with darkness, Christ not yet being revealed, disobedient to the voice in the heavenly vision. Disobedient to the voice. Unlike John, who was not disobedient to the voice. I heard the voice that spake with me. I turned to see the voice. Not disobedient. He saw the voice. Heard the voice. Turned to see the voice. That's obedient unto the voice. Where the Lord said, and now, just be obedient unto my voice. They were not obedient. They did not turn. They refused, rejected, and went back to vanity. All right. So there's the diagram. Okay. Going on with the notes. How many born-again believers are literally wandering about in circles till they eventually drop like the children of Israel in the wilderness, in the desert? How many are just ignorant? Okay, I've got two different things, or two different statements right here for that. It's either refusing to be filled with the light of the knowledge of glory of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, like the children of Israel said, no, we will not continue. You, Moses, you go and see the Lord, lest we die, lest our little vain imagination, ignorance, come to an end, lest our vanity be exposed for what it is. Lest, that's what it is. Lest our vanity be exposed. Lest our fairy tales be exposed. Don't tell me there's not a Santa Claus. Do you want to hear the truth? Don't tell me there's not a Santa Claus. Why? It'll crush me. I live for Christmas Day. Will it really? Yes. How tightly do you hold on to your vain imagination is how tightly you will suffer the loss of it. If you're willing to suffer the loss of it. There's a verse that Jesus said, and I like to present it this way, in this manner. He who loves that which he thinks is his life will lose that which is his life. And he who is willing to lose that which he thinks, imagines to be his life, will gain that which is truly his life. How tightly we hold on to our imaginations and traditions. And I'll go on, because I'll read some notes concerning that. It's what do we lose? Nothing but our vain imaginations. That's it. That's all we lose. Our vanities. What do we have to gain? The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's it. We have everything to gain. The knowledge. The light of the knowledge. But it'll cost us our vain imagination. It'll cost us our little fairy tale lives. It'll cost us, yeah, our little fairy tale lives, our little make-believe lives. It'll cost us our daydreams. It'll cost us our dreams to behold reality in the face of Jesus Christ, okay? So there's those that actually do come to a point and they refuse. No, I don't want this. No, it'll cost me too much. I've counted the cost. I have too much to lose here. And they refuse. And they continue in ignorance. They continue in their vain imaginations. Or it's just simply, there are those just simply ignorant of their purpose for existing. Just simply ignorant. Why? I never knew. No one ever told me. No one ever preached to this. No one ever declared the truth as it is in Jesus. I don't know any better. Right? The blind man. Right? The blind man, born blind, John chapter 9. He was born blind. He heard so much throughout his whole existence. He heard so much of religion. And then finally, he heard about Jesus. He said, "This is different. I've got to know this one. I've got to know something about this." So then, you know, the Lord shows up. What do you want? Or, I can't quite remember. I'm not going to read it, but he enters into purpose. And then the religious leaders come and throw their religion at him. Okay, well, tell us what happened. Well, this happened. This happened. No, tell us what happened. Look, finally comes the point. Look, I may not know everything. Because I thought I did in your little religious world. But one thing I do know this. Now, I know before I was blind. And now I see. Comes with a price. Seeing costs us our blindness. The truth costs us our lie. The knowledge, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ costs us our ignorance. Are we willing to depart? You know, Jesus saw this man, John chapter 9. He was there from birth. He was tired of it. Will we continue being tired of it ourselves? Or will we say, well, I'll just make believe I like it and continue playing the game, right? The game, that's what it is, a religious game. All right. Why is this the case with so many? I've got just thought here. Ministry is not the purpose, though the Christian religion of man out of humanity would say it is. Teaching, preaching, evangelizing, etc., all these are not the purpose. These exist to serve purpose. I have said this before. It is so sad, the ministry. And when I say that, you know, people immediately think, oh, apostle, prophet, teacher, pastor, this and that, or the miracle signs, gifts and wonders, all these things. In our generations, they have fallen short of purpose. They have fallen short of the glory of God found only in the face of Jesus Christ. They are to serve purpose. That's why they're there. To serve purpose, to guide, to direct the heart unto the turning of the Lord, unto the turning unto the Lord, that Christ would appear. They direct the heart to continue in purpose. They direct the heart to begin and continue in purpose. Listen, in true reality, they are there to direct the heart to the beginning and to the end. To direct the heart to the I Am. And the I Am being Christ. I love it when the religious leaders went and asked John the Baptist, well, who are you? Are you him? He's beautifully, I am not the Christ. I am not. But I will direct you to who is. And he did. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. Okay? Ministry with all its multifaceted appearances will either be serving purpose because it is in purpose, therefore out from purpose, or ministry will serve no purpose at all and the recipients remain in their hearts short of the glory of God found only and exclusively in the face of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to read some of these verses. I may get back to him. I'll just go ahead and read. I'll go ahead and read this because it just seems that this is the way this session is going right here. This is the normal Christian experience. Okay, I know there's a book out there by Watchman Nee, The Normal Christian Life. Well, it's been so long since I've read it. I couldn't use that as a title, so I had to use This is the Normal Christian Experience. This is the way it should be for one who's born again. Actually, you could say this is the normal experience of the soul. I'll write that down. This is the normal experience of the soul. This is the experience the soul should come into and continue in, okay? As seen in Paul. It's Acts chapter 26. Verse 16. This is the whole experience. And we'll start with some different different verses. All right. First verse I want to start with, we're actually going to be finding in Acts chapter 7. Okay. Here's how it is. There's a soul. The Holy Spirit deals with the soul. The Holy Spirit dealing with the heart to bring that one into purpose, to bring that one to the beginning. He does not stop dealing. He continues dealing with the heart. That's why so many out in the Christian religion of man are so unsatisfied, because they've left the purpose. They've left purpose, and because they've been redirected to some other purpose, some other reason for existing. But their soul is not satisfied. Their heart is not satisfied because they're not continuing in purpose. And the Holy Spirit will not leave them, will not let them. He continues. All right, dealing with the heart, that it would come into purpose, that it would begin in purpose, and that it would come to the end, continue in purpose. All right. This is Acts chapter 7, verses 1 through 58. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it's basically Stephen. He's declaring Christ. There are those who are loving it, and there are those who are hating it. There are those who are letting go of their vain imaginations and traditions and laying hold of this one that Stephen is declaring. And then there are those who are holding very tightly to their vain imaginations and traditions and fully, wholeheartedly rejecting this one that Stephen is declaring. Paul, Saul at the time, is listening to all of it. He is hearing, if you can hear this, the gospel. He is hearing the preaching of Christ. He is declaring Christ. Right? I don't have time, but he spells it out real beautifully. I mean, he's giving time and time again a picture of Christ. The tabernacle of witness. Verse 46, who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. Verse 47, but Solomon built him a house. Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? And then he goes on and just brings it right down to it. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do you. You resist the appearing of Christ. You resist the dealing of Christ. They didn't like that. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. And instead of repenting, they hardened themselves like Pharaoh. And they gnashed on him with their teeth. I love this. Here's the definition of being full of the Holy Spirit. You know, when I was born again, I was birthed into a fellowship that was charismatic. They told me what it meant to be full of the Holy Spirit, and I went with it. Verse 55 of Acts chapter 7 is the definition of being full of the Holy Spirit, full of the Holy Ghost. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looketh up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. That is one who is full of the Holy Ghost. That is being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's in the Scripture. The purpose, the continuing of the appearing of Christ. Why would it be something less than the face of God? The face of Christ. Okay. And he said, behold, I see the heavens open. Beautiful. No more veil. No veil. And the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. Cast him out of the city and stoned him with the witnesses. And listen, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Whether he wanted or not, he heard Christ. He heard the declaring of Christ in the testimony. Whether Saul wanted to hear it or not. The Holy Spirit dealing with the soul. And there's a verse in here. I'm not sure if we'll get to it. I'll just make mention of it. They all heard the gospel. The gospel was preached in the whole world. All right? The testimony was preached. The testimony of Christ. Christ was preached. Now, the Holy Spirit deals according with what has been just preached, declared. Dealing. I'll hold off. But I know we'll get there, and if not, I'll read it before we get there. All right. Continues dealing with them, okay? Continues to be dealt with by the Holy Spirit. Now let's look at Acts chapter 26, verse 12. He's declaring to King Agrippa the whole account. Man, this is how it all, listen, this is how it all began. Don't you love that? This is how I began. This was my beginning, King Agrippa. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. Not just me. It was with everybody. But I'm the only one who actually responded. All right. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me. There he goes. Here's the voice. Hold it. Don't you like it? This, you can see the whole thing with like the Apostle John, Book of Revelation, chapter 1. I was in the Spirit in the Lord's day, the day of the Lord, and heard the voice. Okay? And we were all fallen to the earth. I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. He was being dealt with by the Holy Spirit. He had heard the testimony. He had heard Christ preached out of the testimony. And he was having a hard time with it. He was trying to resist the dealing of God to his own detriment. It wasn't good for him. It wasn't for his well-being. It wasn't for his good. He was going another direction and it was hurting him. All right. Hard to thee. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. The Holy Spirit continued dealing with him. All right. Continues to be dealt with by the Holy Spirit. Verse 15. And I said, who art thou, Lord? Listen to this. And he said, I am. Paul had heard through the preaching and teaching of Stephen, Christ is. Christ is. Christ is. You know, there was a tabernacle that Moses reared up? Yeah. And then a temple that Solomon made? Yeah. God doesn't dwell in that temple. Christ is that temple. The Lord of glory appeared to Abraham. Christ is. Christ is. He heard Christ is. Christ is. Christ is. Out of the testimony. Christ is. Christ is. And finally, his heart is still being dealt with by the Holy Spirit. Right? Why do you kick against the pricks? It's hard for you to do that. Resisting. Just go with it. Go with what the Lord is doing. Go with purpose. Turns his heart. I am. He sees the I am. And just like John, but rise and stand upon thy feet. I am. Okay? He's obedient to the voice and the Lord appears. I heard a voice speaking unto me. Turns to see the voice. He hears, I am. Falls down. Now rise. Continues. And see, he began. And now he continues. Verse 19. I love it. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Why? I was not disobedient to the voice. Therefore, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. I continued in purpose. I continued in purpose. I continued seeing in the testimony, Christ is, Christ is, Christ is. This is Christ. This is declaring Christ. This is speaking of Christ. And the Lord Himself speaks. And I turn to see the voice that speaks with me. And He says, I am. The Lord Himself appears. I continued. I was not disobedient. I was obedient. Unlike, back with our diagram. Unlike the children of Israel that were disobedient to the voice, therefore disobedient to the heavenly vision. That's what they told Moses. If we continue to see this great sight, we'll die. Our imagination will come to naught. Our vain little fairy tale world will end. Our good old days? No, there are no good old days. Before it's not good, here's the good. We'll look at the verse. And Genesis chapter 1, I think it's like verse 3. And God said, let there be light. It says, and God saw that the light was good. That's where the good is. Here's darkness, death and darkness. There's no good here. What's the opposite of good? Evil. This is evil. This is all evil. This is all evil. I was not disobedient, but I continued in the heavenly vision. I continued being obedient, my heart turning to see the voice that spake with me, and beholding the voice, the I am appears. The I am appears. And how? I continued obedient. And the light of the knowledge of the glory of God is filling. The knowledge now is filling my soul. The glory of God at the point of new birth fills the soul. And I continue in purpose. Now the knowledge, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God is now filling my soul. And that's what it is for us. We looked at several verses, I think, passages. Christ comes in, fills his house. You know, Isaiah said that. The year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. It was train fills the temple, and the cherubims, the seraphims, cherubims, I'm not sure which ones it is, declared, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. The whole earth, Strong's number 776, the land of promise, same word, check it out, Strong's number 776, in the Hebrew, or in the original, okay, I'll just say in the original, the whole earth is full of His glory. What's left? The light of the knowledge of the glory of God, found exclusively in the face of Jesus Christ. The glory fills the house. The glory fills the earth already. What's lacking? We are ignorant of the glory that is present. We're ignorant. That's it. We're just ignorant. Ignorant. Like Jacob. Lays his head on the rock, sees the angels of God ascending and descending, sees the Lord above all. The Lord risen, and he wakes up, says, surely God was here this whole time and I knew it not. This is none other than the house of God. Why? Because God is in his house. The glory of God is in his house. The glory of God is filling the temple. I didn't know it. So then he says, but now I do. This is Bethel, the house of God. Paul continues in purpose. He began in purpose with the appearing of the Lord. He continues in purpose. This, the James Murdoch translation of the Syriac Peshitta, I have appeared unto thee. Boom. For this purpose, to constitute thee a minister and a witness of this, thy seeing me, the beginning, and thy seeing me hereafter, the end. The end goal. The goal. The end. Thy seeing me hereafter. I continue in purpose. I continue, listen, in the appearing of the I Am. I continue in the appearing of the beginning and the end. I continue in purpose. Paul, in Philippians 3:8, counts all waste, all dung. And I'll use the diagram for this. He counts it all. See, at some point, Paul, before he was born again, at some later on, he's declared in Philippians, he's counting all this, what he was, times past, what he was. Hey, Hebrew of the Hebrews, I was a Pharisee. I sat under Gamaliel. I have all this religious knowledge. I have all this background. I am of Israel, the chosen people. I am dead. He counts it all. Waste, dung. Refuse. It's like wasted time. Before I was born again, it's just wasted time. Right? Death. He also counts this right here. His time as a child. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. But when I became a man, I saw the child was put away. Check it out. That's what it says. Death and vanity. Death and vanity. This is what he counts as dung. This is what he counts as waste. But for what? For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Excellency of the knowledge. See, after you're born again, you have the excellency of the Christ in you. What's left? The excellency of the knowledge. As God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, he gives it, spells it out so clear. So hath he shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In the face of Jesus Christ. It's the appearing of Christ. That there would be light. That there would be understanding. That there would be knowledge. Okay? Here's the wasted time while dead. Wasted effort. And then here's the wasted effort right here. All the effort wasted while alive and yet ignorant. The dead religion of man that comes from the darkness of death. Listen to this. The vanity of youth. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. The vanity of youth that stems from the vain imagination of the heart that continues governed by death and darkness. The vanity of youth, you can see it in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 7 through 10. And I'm not going to turn there, but you can see it. It's also, I think, in Proverbs, but I do want to turn here. This is 1 Corinthians, verse 13. Chapter 13, verses 9 through 12. And this is, I'll go ahead and just do this. Because it'll make more sense as I'm reading this and pointing at this diagram. Okay, verse 9 through 12. For now, for we know in part, right here, as children, as youth, as those ignorant of the life that is present. Part of Israel, but just ignorant of what you're a part of. For now we know in part, and we prophesy in part, we declare in part, but when that which is perfect is come, no veil, that which is in part shall be done away. The veil shall be done away. Then he goes on to clarify it even more clearly. when I was a child, right here, vanity of youth. I thought as a child, but when I became a man with an unveiled face, I saw the child was put away. This vanity, this vain imagination, this little imaginary world. For now, as a child, we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. See, it's not sometime in the future when you die in the flesh. No, no, no. But then is any time your heart turns to the Lord and the veil is removed. Beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord in His face, face to face, changed into that same image. That's when it happens. That's when it happens. But then, face to face. Now I know in part. Now as a child I know in part. But then shall I know even as also I am known, having no life but Christ. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity, is love, is Christ Himself. Listen, having been born again, we begin at zero from the beginning, okay? Because of His appearing, knowing nothing, completely ignorant. At some point, listen to this, at some point we must confess our ignorance. But see, what happens is that when we're born again, we start learning religious stuff. And see, we can learn it with our carnal mind. It's easy to grasp with a carnal mind because it comes out of a carnal mind, the religion of man. It's not the doctrine of God, it's the doctrine of man. Okay? We begin growing in carnal, listen, we begin growing in carnal knowledge up the ladder, up the rungs, just like the world. You know? And the more you know carnally, the greater you seem to be. You know, okay, now I think you need to go to Bible school and become this and this and this because you know so much carnally the Scripture. Just like Saul of Tarsus, right? You know so much. Ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Christ. Okay? At some point, we must be willing to come to admit that all of our going about, either for us or for the Lord, has not been in purpose. The Holy Spirit continues dealing with the heart to bring us in our hearts to a crossroad that we would now come to serve purpose, that we would finally come to serve purpose. Serve purpose. We must be willing and obedient unto His dealing, willing to count, like Paul, everything before as loss, even as vanity, and be willing to return to what? Zero. Not I, but Christ. By returning once again to our first love. And I know how we have totally polluted that term, abused that term. We make it all something mushy. No. The first love is His appearing. He appeared. Let's read it. It's in Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. What church is He speaking to? He's speaking to Ephesus. 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 The same church that Paul was saying, I pray that you would be filled, that God would grant you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. To continue in purpose. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith He that holdeth the seven stars. Think about these. Listen to the terminology. Stars, light, in His right hand, and who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, light. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou art not, that canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. If anything is fallen, it's the heart. Fallen into what? Into the vain imagination of ignorance. Fallen. Remember how we also said to Colossians? Set your affection, set your heart on that which is above, where Christ is. For you are dead to everything else. You are dead to time. You are dead to what is below, to what is not Christ. And your life is hid with Christ in God. Okay? And I love this. Repent. And turn the heart. And repent. And do the first works. Or else I will come in unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick, the light, out of this place, except thou repent. Turn the heart unto the Lord. When the heart turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. That is true repentance. True repentance is not saying, I'm sorry for doing this, forgive me, and then do something else. No, true repentance is that the heart actually turning unto the Lord. That is true repentance. Right? But this, thou hast, anyway, so that's that. Thou hast left thy first love. The term works, I know that someone can say, oh, well, see, there it is. There works. They were talking about works. And I just want to see if I know I've got it defined somewhere. Oh, yeah, here it is. All right. Works in the Online Bible Greek lexicon. It's the same as the Thayer's. The term works is this business employment, that which one is occupied. You left your occupation. You left the purpose for which you were created, the appearing of Christ. That's what you left. That was your first love. When life, when salvation appeared in your soul, you rejoiced in His appearing. And somehow you left His appearing. You left your first love. Unto the love of the carnal knowledge of man. The love of religion. The love of tradition, the love of ignorance, the love of the lie. And that's how it is for so many of us. But we have much carnality and religious doctrines and traditions of man to suffer to lose, count as loss at this crossroad. Therefore, many continue blind, ignorant, and disobedient. In such a state, we remain unsatisfied. You will. I mean, you can say, oh, well, this is just a little feeling I get once in a while. No, that's your soul being dealt with by the Holy Spirit saying you're not walking in purpose. That's why you're unsatisfied. Repent. Turn. Let the veil be removed. And continue in purpose, His appearing. In such a state, we remain unsatisfied and not content in our hearts in our world of vanity. It's our world. It's not reality, it's our world. What we make, anything we make goes. Anything we make believe goes here. You know, if I can think it, it's there. That's our little world of vain imagination. The dealing of the Holy Spirit prompts the question in our hearts, is this it? Or is there something else? Right? If we are honest with ourselves, we will come to that question in the little religious circle, right? In our little years of wandering, not serving purpose. Is this it or is there something else? While all the while ignorant of the much more Christ Himself. See, once Christ Himself appears, your soul says, this is it. There's nothing else. This is it. And you continue in His appearing. You continue in purpose. If we are honest with the Lord and ourselves, we will confess there must be more. I do not know what it is. I am ignorant. But Lord, show me the more. Cause me to know the more. All the miracles, signs, and wonders in Egypt served purpose because they pointed, directed, led to purpose the appearing of the Lord in the Passover lamb. The appearing of Christ brought them out of Egypt, the house of bondage. Not the miracles, signs, and wonders. These served purpose. They had an end goal. This goal being the appearing of Christ. I know that I've probably gone over time. A while, I don't know, maybe 5 minutes over, 10 minutes over. 5 minutes over? Okay. I've got one last verse. One last verse. This is Romans 10:12-15. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Here we go. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Paul, as Saul, heard the preaching of Christ. I don't know through who all, but I know he heard it through Stephen. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And here's where our little religious minds get all excited. No. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful, I love this. He doesn't just leave it there. He takes it to the source. Isaiah, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Of good. First of all, I'll say this. God does not send one out from darkness. He does not send out one out from darkness, but out from light. Our very first example, Moses, type of Christ. He was sent of God as a deliverer to bring what? To bring the children of Israel into purpose, to bring them out of death into purpose. But before that, it says, and Moses saw the Lord. The Lord appeared to Moses. That's where it is. That's where you're sent, if you are sent at all. If you're sent of God, then the Lord has appeared. Good things. The term is just good. This is Isaiah 52, verse 7, where Paul was quoting from. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good. Of good. The message, the declaring is of good. Okay? That publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Okay? The term good in Isaiah 52:7 is Strong's number 2896. This is the exact same number in these verses that I'm going to read. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Here's another verse. Also, that the soul be without knowledge is not good. But that the soul be with knowledge is good. How shall they hear? Except one preach. How shall they preach? Except they be sent. How shall they be sent? Except Christ appear in them. And they have only good to declare. Purpose. The beginning and the end. The beginning and the end. In the beginning, God appears. A new creation. And the end, the goal, let there be light. Only as we continue in the opinion of Christ will others hear. Only those who are continuing in the opinion of Christ will declare purpose, that others might come into purpose, that those who come into the house and those who are in the house may see the light of the house. Amen. May the Holy Spirit deal with our hearts. May the Holy Spirit deal with the hearts of those who are wandering, not serving any purpose at all. May they count the cost of their ignorance. May they count the cost of their vain imagination. May they count the cost and say, the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, is greater than the loss of my vanity, than the loss of my imagination. May we be dealt with by the Holy Spirit, yield to that dealing, and begin in purpose and continue in purpose. And may we know the Lord as the beginning and the end. Amen.